Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Coming up this week, Disney raises cast minimum wage to $15 an hour. Rumors are heating up about a change coming to Artist Point over at Wilderness Lodge. And which attraction do you think gets evacuated more than any other? We'll tell you about that. Also, we're going to discuss our impressions of this year's Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. All that coming up next. From the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida, this is the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged, episode 1004 for the week of August 28th, 2018. The Diz Unplugged is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, experts at helping you plan the perfect Disney vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show, coming to you live from the Bob Barley Studio in Orlando, Florida. I'm your host, Pete Werner. Joined at the table this week by my good friends John Magi.
Hi, everybody.
Kevin Close.
Hi, everyone.
Charles Boda.
Hey, folks.
Steve Porter.
Hello.
And back in production nook, our associate producer, Mr. Rhino Clavin.
Hello.
And our producer, Mr. Craig Williams.
Hey.
Welcome, everybody. Hope your week is off to a good start. A couple things in housekeeping before we get into the news. First of all, our efforts to raise $100,000 for Give Kids the World as part of our 1,000th episode a few weeks ago has gone incredibly well. We are almost there. We are at $89,000 raised for Give Kids the World. So we need $11,000 more in any way we can get it. I don't care if, you know, we've had some really generous folks here. You know, people donating 50, 100, 25, 10, that has been great. But we've had, like, somebody just donated, like,
$4,000. Wow, that's incredible. That's
awesome. We've had a few people do that.
We went to brunch at Luigi and Mario. What is it called?
The plumbers?
Maria Enzo's?
Maria Enzo's, yeah, that's it. And the people at the next table came over and said, we watched your show. We really like you guys a lot. Thanks for everything you do. Here's money for Give Kids the World. Of course, I used it to pay for brunch, but I thought that was really nice of them.
And we told him we were going to tell that joke when we mentioned
it. Okay. So we're almost there, folks. We're almost there. So I have to make this last push. I need $11,000 to hit that $100,000 mark. Now, keep in mind that having raised $100,000 means we have sent at least, I think, 16 or 17 families to the village. They pay for everything. They pay for the airfare. They pay for the tickets. They pay for everything. Their lodging. Everything is included for these families to have this opportunity to do this trip. And so I had lunch with somebody from the village last week. They're blown away by how well we've done with this. And they're so thankful and so grateful. And they're actually helping us out with something that I can't really talk about just yet. See, I'm going to keep secrets from you now.
I love it.
So what we've been asking people to do is donate $100 or bundle $100 from friends and family to help us get to this goal. So I basically need, another 100 people to do that. FirstGiving.org is where this is being raised. 100% of the money raised, other than what First Giving takes out for their piece, is all going to Give Kids the World. And what they told me when I had dinner lunch last week is that a lot of people are including the processing fee in their donations,
yes,
so that the whole thing is going right to Give
That's
Kids
what
the
I
World.
Did, yeah.
So we really appreciate that, folks. But this is, you know, it's going to a great cause. If you want to know more about it, gktw.org, as in givekidstheworld.org. You can learn all about the village and the work that they do. And we will have a link in our show notes page to our page on First Giving. But also, if you go out to the Diz, wdwinfo.com, up at the very top, you'll see a red bar. You click on that. When he talks about raising money for Give Kids the World, just click on that. It'll take you right to the page.
Also, there's a couple different threads on the Diz Unplugged board about volunteering at Give Kids the World and the experience that brings and things like that. So there's a lot of information out there.
Yep, absolutely. Now, also, while we're talking about Give Kids the World, my second housekeeping, I had alluded to this a few weeks ago, but I'm officially announcing it now that we are going to be doing a marathon show the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Of course, I don't have that date right in front of me. If somebody wants to look that up, that would be awesome. We're going to be doing a 12-hour marathon show the Saturday after Thanksgiving, and we're going to be kicking off our week-long silent auction online, also to raise money for Give Kids the World, figuring doing it at the very start of the holiday season. So we're looking for folks to donate items that we can auction. You will send those items to 6550 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite B, Cape Canaveral, Florida, 32920. That's where Teresa will be receiving those.
And it's November 24th.
November 24th. We will be doing a marathon, 12-hour show, as part of raising money for Give Kids the World. Don't ask me how that's going to go.
I think Teresa just fainted. I heard a thud.
So how
she
long?
I gave her plenty of notice. She knows this is coming.
How long is the auction going to be for?
The auction's going to go on for a week.
Okay.
The auction will go on for a week. Give people time to check it out and bid on it. I will tell you that, you know, like after, like just like even after the last auction we did last year, I started, like, as I go through my house and I see things, I'm like, oh, that's got to go into an auction. That's got to get auctioned. So just my stuff is going to be awesome. I'm auctioning off some really cool stuff.
So I think what we should say then is we have to have your item in-house before that show.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so make sure you get it to us before
I can't that list show. It. I cannot list it on the auction unless we have it in our hands. So we're going to say to everybody, we need it absolutely no later than the 17th of November. Absolutely no later than the 17th of November. So we cannot auction anything we don't have in our possession. So, but please, anything that you would like to donate to help us raise money for Give Kids the World, 6550 North Atlantic Avenue, Suite B as in boy, Cape Canaveral, Florida, 32920. We'll be putting that up on Facebook, Twitter, our show notes page, all the good places where things need to go. So that's it for me. What else do we have in housekeeping? I think you guys have some things to talk about in housekeeping.
Me too. I do. I want to go last, though.
Okay.
Well, if I do mine, that's my rapid fire. Do you have to do it now as a housekeeping?
Might as
thing?
Well.
All right. There's a great deal of interest. We have all the T's crossed and the I's dotted for our October 4th through October 13th, 2019 London Paris Disneyland Paris adventure. We've done this before. This is
twice.
It's hugely successful, has been in the past. And if you book an adventure by Disney, you can book the London Paris trip. You can add on Disneyland Paris on your own. That's not how our trip works. We get our guides at the beginning of the trip in London, and they stay with our group until the Disneyland Paris portion is over.
And we add all sorts of special stuff.
John and I have worked very hard with Adventures by Disney. We'll be staying at the Landmark Hotel in London. We'll be staying at the Hilton Paris Opera in Paris, and the Disneyland Hotel in Disneyland Paris. This took some negotiation. Halloween is a very popular time to visit Disneyland Paris.
The weather is gorgeous.
The weather is gorgeous. The decorations are gorgeous. So it was very hard to get into the Disneyland Hotel.
And I will be able to tell you what I think of the Landmark Hotel in a few weeks, because that's where I'm staying when I'm in London.
Excellent.
Awesome.
I am going to post a link to this on Twitter. I will post a link on the Disboards, and I am sure this will go into the show notes page because I had my rapid fire information in first this week. That was the thing I was playing with Craig.
So I would suggest, though, that I don't know that it's going to last long enough to get into the show notes page.
I was just going
to
say this might go before. The cost per person is $10,449.
It's an expensive trip, folks.
It is, but it's a 9-night trip. And
it includes, just take a look at what the cost of a night at the Disneyland Paris Hotel is.
We actually went to war with Disney over this one. They were charging much, much more. than this, and I got involved.
Just saying. There were threats of canceling. There were threats of not going. There were threats of giving this all up. And John
there were threats of Viking.
Well, you know, we've done it on our own before. The nice thing about going with Adventures by Disney is there's a lot of extras in that park that you don't get if you just book the add-on.
We have a tour with Disney Imagineer.
That was so cool last time.
We have one this time, too. The cost, again, is $10,449 for adults. That's just about $2,100.
All right, stop trying to do math.
$2,900. I don't know. $10,449. Children, and children are allowed. Because of the dates we pick, we like the cooler weather. We like the slower season, usually. But children are allowed are $9,929 for kids. And a single is $14,629.
These are expensive trips, folks. You don't have to tell us. We know.
And, I can't make them cheaper. John could, but that was the best we could do. And that's why this is so late. This hasn't been an ongoing negotiation. This didn't get finalized until just before we went away on the celebrity cruise. So I had to wait till I get home, too.
But we should let you know that more than half this trip is already filled. Because we put it out to our previous travelers.
I offered it to the folks who went to China with us last year. China was a big deal for our group because we talked about every park. China was going to China and hitting the parks there filled a lot of people's every park list. And there were several people on our trip who said, we haven't got Disneyland Paris, so we want to go back there. So that's kind of a lot of the impetus of this trip came from them. So I promised it to them first, and it's gotten a huge response. And if you're interested, Kevin at Dreams Unlimited Travel, I just tweeted out the link. As soon as somebody else goes on to route their rapid fire, I will post this on the Diz boards also. But if you want to follow me, Kevin L. Close at Dreams Unlimited Travel. Or Kevin L. Close, at Kevin L. Close. That's Twitter. Sorry, that's my email address. But I think it's going to be fun. John and I are going. Pete is going.
Yes.
That's John. That's Pete. for those who are new. Again, I apologize that it's expensive as it is. I cannot do a thing about that. It is either a yes or
no. Yeah, it's not us setting the price. Right.
It's a lot of trip for that much money, though. It really is.
It is. It's an amazing trip.
Right. We've got the whole itinerary on the site, part of the link.
I just twinked it out. I just tweeted it out. I do need to let everybody know that ABD puts their final payment at 120 days prior to departure. We have decided that with this trip that we are going to move that back even a little further. Make it earlier. And the reason is because we contracted for every space on this trip. And if something happens that you cancel, it then is our responsibility to either pay for it or fill it. So I'm going to make final payment earlier than that, only because we have to cover ourselves to make sure that if you cancel, buy travel insurance. And that way we are covered also in case we have to refill that spot with someone else.
Perfect.
All right. And you reminded me of something else. Now, I'm not entirely sure if I'll be hosting next week or not because we've got some stuff going on. We were with our Dreams agents. And then I am leaving on vacation. I'll be in London for a week. I'll be doing the meet in London on the 7th. I just want to remind everybody, because we get questions about this, if you RSVP'd on Facebook or via email when I first put the call out, if you RSVP'd that you were going on Facebook or sent it in the email when I first asked, then you are on the list. There's nothing else you have to do. You're all good. It's those of you that were on the fence, I can't help. Those of you that said, maybe I'm going, I'm interested, but I don't know. Well, sorry, filled up. My apologies. But I'll be gone. I'll be in London that week, and then I'll be doing the Adventures by Disney Alpine Central Magic. Europe. Is that what it is?
No, you're doing Central Europe, right? You're doing the same one Craig did.
Starting out in Prague, going to Vienna. And I'm going to be tweeting and Instagramming. So Twitter is at Pete Werner, and Instagram is at PeteW126. And I will be Instagramming everything because I'm loving Instagram right now. Yeah, no, Instagram's cool. Like, Rhino got me at Rhino 1185 got me interested in it. And yeah. And we also have some things to give away that I'm just figuring out. We're going to do it on social media. I'm just not sure how I'm going to do it yet. But one thing I'm going to give away, you can't buy in stores. And I had it. You want to show it, Kevin?
Yes, but you got to tell the whole story. I found this on the table the last time I was here. And I had the hardest time not putting it in my bag.
And I was drinking out of it the last show I did. And everybody, I was getting blown up. Where'd you get it? Where'd you get it?
It has Edna and Jack from Toy Story. From
Jack.
Incredibles. There was one sitting here on the table last week. And I thought, if anybody sees me, I'm going to get caught stealing this. So Pete was nice enough to get me one. I think they're pretty freaking
Can't
cool.
buy them, I understand.
They were special made for an event we were at. I was able to convince them to send me a few more. So we're going to give some away. I just don't know how I'm going to do it yet.
Feats of strength.
I'm not going to give it away on my Instagram, but maybe I'll announce it on my Instagram, so you have to follow me on Instagram to find out. No.
You have to lift things.
I think it should be like Survivor. You can stand on one foot.
Or eat bugs.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's it for housekeeping. Unless
I have something,
else?
But you guys took a really long time, so I don't know if I'm
going to go ahead.
All right. So, those who have been part of the Diz for a long time, the Diz Unplugged Watches.
I've been around for a while.
You have been around for a while. We like to do either party or a cruise every other year to just have fun and get together and have meets and stuff for folks. I took this year off because I was exhausted.
After the last two years,
like,
yeah.
Camille, I was absolutely wiped out. I had the vapors. Exactly. So I have been working on our event for 2019, and I have some details that I can share. We are not contracted yet with Disney, but I've been given permission to give some of the details because they have guaranteed me that this will work. All right, mark your calendars. August 7th through August 11th, 2019, it will be an event.
Okay, and folks, I just so you know, Pete, this is what he does. I have no idea what he's about to say. So
August 7th through August 11th, 2019 will be an event. Think of our mega meet. Think of our 20th anniversary. We will be doing Give Kids the World auction stuff. We'll be doing meets and greets. We'll be doing events individually. We'll be at the Contemporary Resort.
Yay.
That's where our space will be. For those of you who would like to get a room, we will be blocking off rooms and getting special pricing. I can't tell you what that is yet. I don't have a contract for it, but the pricing will be good. You do not have to book your trip through Dreams Unlimited Travel. You do not have to book your room through this special rate to be part of our festivities. We will have a whole sign-up process going forward. The highlight of our festivities will be a party. Think of the hardest ride you can get on at Disney.
You mean which ones we fit in?
No, not that hard.
Right, and now
the longest wait?
Oh, Flights of Passage.
That would be really good if we could get that one.
Oh no, really?
We actually have all of Pandora.
Oh my God, are you kidding?
For August 10th, 2019, we'll be renting out Pandora. Both rides. We'll have food. We'll have interaction with stuff.
Oh my!
So it's going to be a big event. Big event.
Awesome.
We're going to be teasing this for a while, but look for early August. We'll open up registration. We'll give you plenty of time.
Early August was a month ago.
Early October. Early October, we'll look for the registration forms to go up. There'll be a price to attend.
And this takes care of the complaints that we don't give you enough time.
Right, exactly.
Okay? You have just under a year now to mark this on your calendar.
August 10th, 2019, we will be renting out Pandora for the evening.
Oh, my God.
Pretty excited about it.
That's awesome.
Yep, I was really, really excited to get it. It was a lot of work to get it. So.
Wow. Okay.
And you'll be able to ride Pandora as much as you like.
Before we step away, can I just announce that this is now on Twitter and on the Diz boards?
Stop trying to steal my thunder.
I just wanted to let everybody know.
All right.
This too?
No.
Just the Kevin stuff.
Right, exactly. Were you talking?
Yes, I was talking.
Did you say something?
I did. Something very important. So I hope folks can join us.
That's awesome, John.
It's going to be a big event, so I'm excited about it.
That's so cool.
That's so cool.
The guys in the back are bored.
I am so excited. I am so excited for 2019 now.
Big year, 2019.
I'm telling you.
We're going to San Francisco.
That's right.
And Disneyland.
Isn't that July?
Yep. We're doing this in early August. You guys are doing something at the end of August.
I am.
You're doing D23.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Oh, yeah, okay. And here I am saying, you know, like, because this year my travel schedule's been nuts. So I'm saying, you know what, I got to calm down next year. And now this is how it happens. Yep. It's like, it's... But
well, the good news is this is here for us.
So. And I got about 1,000 people that go, I'll take your job.
Exactly. So, yeah, very, very excited. I hope a lot of folks can join us again. We'll continue to announce this. We will make sure you have advance warning. There will be a sign-up process early October of 2018.
Awesome. Great job, John.
Thank you.
Very excited.
Me too.
All right. Now, anything else in housekeeping? Now that this is like the housekeeping show. Okay. We'll throw it over to Johnny with the news.
All right. Some of these are fast, so we should be okay. Story number one. Artist Point rumored to become a Snow White and Seven Dwarfs character dinner. There is new speculation on Disboards.com that the rumored character dinner coming to Artist Point at Disney's Wilderness Lodge will feature Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. There has been speculation online for over a month or two now that Artist Point would be changing from a signature restaurant to a character dining location. But there's still been no official word from Disney on whether it is going to happen. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs would likely bring in a large number of guests to Artist Point, but again, this rumor has not...
Because the food won't.
Agreed.
So, okay, so I was there. I had dinner there Friday. Against my will. It was somebody else's idea. We notice that there are no reservations available at Artist Point past, I think, November 7th or something like that. And so I was talking to the manager, and he says, yes, we're undergoing some changes. I said, please tell me you're doing this character meal. I'm not authorized to discuss that. So they're doing a character meal. That's as close to an official acknowledgement as you're going to get before the announcement.
Because they would deny it. Oh, no, that's not true. That's not going
to
happen.
Right. Right. I'm not authorized to discuss that.
I think it's a great place for it, don't you?
I think this has to find it. This place has to find its groove, because now I won't say the entire meal was terrible. In fact, I had a mushroom bisque that was out of this world.
That's been on the menu for quite a while.
Yeah,
love
it was
that.
Very good. But then I had a strip steak that I thought had butter on it until I tasted it, and I was like, "This is the nastiest." I bit into the steak. First of all, it wasn't a great steak to begin with. Second of all, there was something about it that was off. And I'm like, is this steak bad? At first I'm thinking, am I tasting seafood? Are they cooking the steak on the same grill with the, you know, with the seafood? And then I took a taste of this, what I thought was butter. And that was what was doing it. It was awful, horrendous. And they said it was some kind of fat reduction thing they did. And I'm like, okay, you need to stop doing that.
It could have been the lard. They could have,
yeah,
the farro, and taken it off of the meat.
Yeah, something like that. It was just disgusting is what it was. So service was wonderful, though. So, I mean, it's not that it's hopeless, but...
And the space is kind of beautiful.
But it was, you know, I'm in there at 7 o'clock on a Friday night, and the place was empty. Mm-hmm. The place was empty. So they've got to do something. Now, go ahead, Steve.
Oh, I'm just really curious about the rumor being specifically Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, because that would be a lot of
characters.
Eight characters for a character dining I think that would be the most of any
Seven
character.
Of them are really small. So I think they could fit, you know?
I don't
few
think
of them talk.
I don't think it would be all Seven Dwarfs if they went that way.
Maybe Snow White, Dopey, and...
It could also be Snow White could just be in the beginning to greet you as you come in and do
Snow
a picture.
Snow White could circulate and do pictures, and the dwarfs could all be in one spot.
Dang right.
It's, you know,
Cinderella.
I think a character meal is certainly coming, whether it's Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs or something else. I don't know. But I think a character meal is definitely coming, and I think you're going to hear an announcement in the next few weeks, would be my guess. And because they're not renovating the restaurant, per se, I don't believe. That's not the impression I'm getting, that the restaurant is undergoing a renovation. I don't think this will ever stop being a signature dining experience. So we're going to have a signature character experience, which I don't believe we have anywhere on property right now. Do we have, other than Cinderella's Royal Table?
How would they do the dining plan for that then?
Two
table service credits.
Yeah.
Okay.
So maybe that's how you justify eight characters. They're not going to take that. They're not going to take this from being a signature restaurant. They're not going to do it. So it's going to be going to stay signature. They want that price. They want that price point. They just need to figure out how to get people in. And because of how bad the reviews have been of the food so consistently for so long, they have to do something major.
You just bring in characters?
Well, they're going to change the menu, too.
They've got to.
But they've got to do something else. So
that hotel actually calls for a signature restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely needs it.
Yeah, you can't have a deluxe resort without a signature restaurant.
Right.
So they're not going to, unless they're going to turn Whispering Canyon into a deluxe restaurant, which I don't think. Oh, excuse me. God, I'm sorry.
That was your steak.
I also think the menu has always been, in my opinion, the menu's always been a little bit boring. It needed a little pizzazz. It's always kind of stagnant and boring.
Well, it looks like they're trying. I mean, I'll give them that. But I'm sorry that steak was just awful. First of all, it was a lower quality steak to begin with, because when I sent it back, that's how bad it was. I rarely ever send back food. This was so bad. It was inedible. And then so they brought it out. They brought the steak out to me with nothing on it. Because that's how, you know, you have to check to see if a steak is any good. If it's smothered and stuff. Because I asked for nothing on it. And it came out with that on it. I don't think he trusts the steak. And there's good reason why. Because when I bit into the steak, I'm like, yeah, okay. It's okay. Certainly not like, oh my God. So I think they got work to do. Let's see what they come out with, though. But I think it's definitely going character. It's definitely going to stay signature. What the details are in that, I don't know yet.
Okay, sounds good. Story number two. Walt Disney World reaches agreement to raise wages to $15 an hour for union employees. After a long debate between Walt Disney World and unions, it seems they've finally come to agreement on wages. According to the Orlando Sentinel, on August 25th, the two parties agreed on a proposed contract that would increase starting wages to $15 an hour by 2021 for union employees. If the proposed contract is approved in a vote on September 5th and 6th, then the incremental raise will steadily go from $10 per hour to $11 this December, then to $13 in September of 2019, $14 in October of 2020, and ultimately $15 in October of 2021.
I have a problem with this. And it's not that they're raising it to $15 an hour. It's that they're doing it 3 years from now. That the value of that $15 in 3 years with cost of living is not going to be what it is today. They need it now. That's why I was really happy with Disneyland. They're raising their cast members up to $15 an hour, but that starts in January. They're getting it now. They're not making them wait for 3 years, especially after this protracted back and forth with the unions and dangling that $1,000 bonus over their heads.
So that's the next part of the story. In addition to the incremental raise, the union employees will also receive the $1,000 bonus that was promised to 125,000 Disney cast members and employees in January, but then was later denied to them. So they got that as part of this. I guess by accepting an incremental increase, they said, okay, you can have $1,000.
It just feels like they framed it in a way to say, okay, you get your $15, you know, asterisks. Like,
right.
Well, that's the thing with them using that holding that $1,000 hostage is now what they're saying is, okay, well, you're going to have to wait, but you get your $1,000 that we promised you before and then retracted. You can have that in January to hold you off until the $15 comes in.
Like I said, ultimately, overall, it's good for Orlando that they're doing this because Disney sets the mark. If Disney's going to $15 an hour, everybody else is going to have to as well. So that's great for workers. Disney can certainly afford it. I just think making them wait, I think they could have matched Disneyland. And so I realize Disneyland has fewer people, blah, 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 blah. There are some other political issues going on out in Disneyland right now, which my boy Josh DeMauro is just, he's killing it right now with what he's doing. I wish we could talk more about that, but I'll talk about that on the Disneyland show next week. But next Wednesday. No, next Monday, sorry. So I'm glad they're doing it. I just wish they were giving it to them now and not making them wait 3 years, 2.5 years to get it.
Yeah, well, I feel like when the time comes, it's the debate's going to, you know, we're going to have this whole other debate, and now it'll be, you know, 20 or whatever it should be at that point. But it just feels like, you know, it should have been a dollar increase, you know, $15 now, and then maybe a dollar increase each year continually after that. I don't know. It just feels like this is quickly going to become outdated.
Well, like I said, what's the value of that $15 an hour going to be 3 years from now?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like they're following the I-4 construction structure of it, where give improvements, and by the time those improvements are done, improvements are needed. And yeah, it's the same thing that cost of living is with, like, okay, we'll give you the $15, which is appropriate now, but you'll get it 3 years from now. It will no longer be appropriate then, you know? So,
If I had a suggestion, I would say take advantage of the new tuition program that Disney is putting into practice. Use that to go get a great education.
That's a good
while
point.
You're working at Walt Disney World, accept the lower rates, but as a college student, and make, and if you want to work in the parks, that's great. I wanted to at a time too, and then you realize I don't want to live with four other people my entire life unless they're my family, not just random roommates. It's really not sustainable. And you know, that is a shame, but there's also other things out there, and then you can enjoy it as a local or a vacationer too. You don't have to just work there. So
there's a time in your life for making sacrifices. There's a time in your life where you think, I'm going to build up my career and I'm going to make these sacrifices and not make as much money because further down the road. I think the problem here is that, first of all, they can't get enough employees. They're trying to bring in more people. And second is, they don't just have college-age kids working for them. You know, they have people who've come here who've retired. They have other people who are making a career out of being a Disney employee. So, I mean, this is not just about someone who's starting out on their life's journey.
But it's also never too late to go back to school.
That's true.
It's never too late to change your life. I mean, so between that and their health insurance program, those are some nice perks.
There are aspects of it. I agree. The tuition program that they just released, where they're basically paying
100%
tuition. 100%
I don't want to make
tuition.
This sound like I was saying that you should just settle for what you've got. I think I agree with everything everybody said, but I think those perks are added in too.
And I just think that personally, it's long overdue that they started doing more for their cast members. I think it's great that they're doing the tuition. I think it's great they're moving to $15 an hour. I think they are bowing to the reality of the world. With the unemployment rate being at historic lows right now, and they've got all this expansion going on. They've got the 50th anniversary coming up in a few years. They need people, and they have to make these jobs more attractive. And because Universal has definitely been drawing people away from Disney as they go through their expansion, offering better wages, offering a lot of other things that Disney doesn't offer. So they have to. They're bowing to the realities of the world now.
I also hope that with these wage increases and with the college program or the college tuition payment, that hopefully it'll give Disney a chance to like keep the cast members, you know, actually working there and not just, you know, working there for a year and then leaving. Because the longer cast members work there, the better they get, the better service we get as guests. So with providing this to the cast members, hopefully it'll, you know, show to guests better service.
Well, that begs the question then. If in order to maybe pay for this, do they expand the college program? Do they bring in more temporary help through the college program where they don't have to worry about all of this stuff? And there's fewer full-time people?
I don't think they need help paying for this. I don't.
You know, that's not how they look at it.
But
it's not that they need help paying for it. They just, you know,
where do you offset the cost of this increase versus something else?
Exactly.
Just spend $70 billion on acquiring another company. They got a little bit of debt going on now, I think. I think that's going to ripple through eventually, right? Into the parks. That's what I felt like before. We always felt like that there was a that they used the theme parks as the first place that they cut back in the company.
You could just think they're saving on straws.
Right, they can also start the Food and Wine Festival in mid-July. Perfect time of year to sip some wine and have some hot scallops out in the day sun.
And the Halloween party around Thanksgiving, yeah. Around Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly.
The Christmas party will last until St. Patrick's Day, and then we'll have the Very Merry St. Patrick's Day party, and that'll be a hit. So there's plenty of options.
All right.
All right, our third and final news story. Frozen Ever After has most evacuation calls on Walt Disney property by a large margin. Among Disney park enthusiasts, Epcot's massively popular Frozen Ever After has a bit of a reputation for frequently breaking down. A recent report by the Orlando Sentinel has given details to just how much trouble this attraction causes Walt Disney World compared to the resort's other rides. The Sentinel gave statistics obtained from the Reedy Creek Fire Department, which shows a substantial difference in the number of evacuation calls between Frozen, which tops the list, and other attractions. The top 10 most evacuated rides at Walt Disney World are
Frozen Ever After
at 113. This is between July 27, 2016 and July 18, 2018. So
it's over a two-year period.
The Frozen Ever After 113, Pirates of the Caribbean 72, Space Mountain 64, Cali River Rapids 44, Winnie the Pooh 33, The Barnstormer 22, Peter Pan's Flight 31, Splash Mountain 21, Toy Story Midway Mania 16, and Spaceship Earth 15. All right, so this seems like a lot, but then when you look at it over 2 years, that doesn't seem like that much,
but
right?
Frozen is notorious for being down.
I think it's just people just want to get out.
Well,
I think you get halfway through that ride and you think,
I love the ride. The ride is awesome and the ride deserves to be popular. I'm not going to say that, but why does it keep breaking down so much?
They made that joke when we were on the Adventures by Disney, when we were at Imagineering, and they were showing us the Arendelle from Hong Kong? Or whatever, but
give away something you're not supposed to.
No. I couldn't remember which park it's going to. But it's already all announced, and they've already shown it all. It wasn't a secret. So it was, the guy said, he made it where we're going to put the Frozen Ever After attraction here with some minor tweaks so that it doesn't break down all the time. So, like, they're aware in Imagineering that this attraction is not functioning the way it should.
Do you think Maelstrom just didn't break down as much because nobody wrote it?
I know he cared.
It's the same ride system.
Yeah. I know, but this had a wait line. I don't know that the Maelstrom ever had this kind of wait line.
I think it's the animatronics in the ride are part of the issue, because I know Olaf is an issue sometimes, and then I think the other ones.
But that wouldn't be a reason to evacuate. That would be if they wanted to.
Olaf's not working. Everyone
if he
run.
Wasn't working and they had to shut down because they hit their points, then they would just cycle clear and then not load anyone else until it's fixed. But
according to this article, they blame it on the water. They say water rides are more difficult to maintain and keep running, but there's a lot of water.
I don't know. Splash Mountain doesn't break down an awful lot.
How about Small World?
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember too, it is water. It's Maelstrom's track, but they also did change where, like, the load and unload areas, so they did do technical work on it that just might not have been done well. I mean, let's face facts. When you're on a timeline and you have to get something done, they got it done when they had to, and then you fill it up with water. I could expect things to go wrong.
Yeah.
So.
All right, that'll do it for the news.
All right, before we go on a rapid fire, let's have a discussion about this year's Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. I know a number of you have been waiting, because I teased a little bit a few weeks ago about what I thought of it. But before we get to that, we have a really cool little 2-minute video we want to show you from this year's party, as put together by one of our viewers, Mr. Phil Kelly. So, Philip Kelly, excuse me. So here, take a look at that.
Okay, Okay, so now that you've played the commercial, play the actual video you did.
Isn't that beautiful?
It makes me want to go.
It did a beautiful job with that.
Wow.
Absolutely beautiful job with that. And I will say this, because that was filmed the first night of the party. That looked a lot better than the party actually was. Now, I did go back this past Friday again because I just needed to check some things. For the first time in many, many years, I'm going to say that I do not think Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party is worth the money. What?
Preach. Right there.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
Oh, I'm so happy you said
liked,
that.
You had a problem with what I was saying.
No. All for it.
I feel terrible saying that. I really do. But they oversold this party. It was like being in the Magic Kingdom on a really busy day. What we were hearing from cast members was that during the day before the party started, Magic Kingdom was dead. Magic Kingdom was dead. The lines were longer during the party than they were during the day. Because people were doing what we have always suggested you do. Skip your Magic Kingdom day on the day of a party. Don't use your multi-day ticket for that. Go to the party. Well, that's what everyone did. Now, I could have my numbers off here. I was told normally they sell out at 22,000, between 20 and 22,000. This went over 30 that they sold because they sold out and then decided to add more. As a result, 45-minute waits for attractions were not uncommon. Normally, we would tell people during the second parade, don't jockey around for position during the first parade because everybody sees the first parade. Wait for the second one because you could walk into Frontierland 5 minutes before the parade starts and get a great spot. Well, not that night, and not the second night either that I did it. So now they've added so many to this. Now I will say, last Friday, the lines were a lot more manageable once you got to right after the fireworks. So you had about an hour of this party from about 11 to midnight where the lines were more reasonable, but way too crowded, not worth. What are they charging for a standard ticket? $90?
Somewhere like around 85, I think, for the early ones, somewhere like in the higher 80s, yeah.
Yeah, it depends on how close you get to it, but I think for August and September, it's around 81 or something like that, and it tops out at 125 for Halloween night.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you now. I'm sorry. I hate to say it. Save you money. Very little about the parade changed. Nothing about the Sanderson Sisters, the Hocus Pocus show changed. Nothing about the fireworks changed.
And when the crowds are as bad as they are, you have to be, for the stage show, you have to be there 30 minutes early if you want a good spot. For the parade, you have to be there 30 minutes if you want a good spot, where you could, like you said, you could usually wait for the second show or the second parade, and it wasn't that big of a deal. Now it's like there's no good option.
At least one third of your time at the party is going to be spent jockeying for position for the stage show, the parade, or the fireworks. At least one third of your time is going to be spent doing that. So if you think those three things are worth that, the reason this party, I always said this party was a good deal, was because not only did you get that great entertainment and the free candy, but you also, it was, you know, quick walk-ons to a lot of attractions that you otherwise would have to, you know, kill yourself to get fast passes for or wait in long lines for. That's what made it worthwhile. Well, they've taken out that attraction access. There were a lot of attractions that weren't open, which I think is normal. Like Jungle Cruise wasn't open. Tiki Room wasn't open. Some attractions they could have had open that may have taken some of the weight off of, the wait times on some of the other ones. But I don't know.
I'm glad you went back because I know that first night sold out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that first night is all of the bloggers and all of the websites want to be the first one there to get their video and stuff. So I thought, well, if you only went to the first night, I would say that might have been it. But you found it.
Now, the second, this past Friday was not sold out, but I still found it
super crowded.
Much much too crowded. Much too crowded. Go ahead.
So, and I'll give the full disclosure. I was there as part of media. But I'm also going to be brutally honest because I gave away my ticket an hour before the party or so. So I was a paying guest up until then for the actual party. So I feel like spending Pete's money, I can talk on it that way.
Craig and Corey were both invited as media. However, everyone else in the team, I paid for their tickets. So just to be perfectly clear.
Exactly. And so first off, when we say, oh, yeah, everyone's there covering the first time, we're talking there was maybe 100 people there that was invited with media,
that's
with
invited
Disney.
Media. There's a lot of folks who are unofficial who do their thing.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, we're talking, if we went just berserk and said everyone who's there because they're a homemade vlogger, all that, we're talking maybe 500 people, and that's not anything at these parties anymore. Maybe back in the day, that would have a big impact. Just, that's not the case anymore. This was the first time, like, we gave up on media. We left our group almost immediately because it just wasn't suiting how we needed to cover the party. And I experienced it for the first time about as stress-free as I ever have. I didn't wait more than, I think, 45 minutes for the first parade. I just saw the entire hub was already filled, said, heck with that. I'm not dealing with that. I can't wait an hour and a half for a parade tonight. It's just not worth it to me. So I did things just as easygoing as I've ever done for any party. And it was miserable between the heat, between the crowds, between the Gunpowder Pete. I'll get into more detail on the Best and Worst show that we're releasing tomorrow. But that was by far the dumbest addition to any party that I've ever seen anywhere. Like, it,
right.
We've talked
and
about
so,
it.
So people understand what we're talking about. Like I said, they plussed Pirates of the Caribbean by adding some live actors, putting some live actors in the mix, one in the queue line, one in the loading area, and one on the attraction. And then they supposedly plussed the Space Mountain experience. But if you've ever been to Disneyland, their Space Mountain, where they do projections and they have, you know, Hyperspace Mountain for Star Wars and they do other stuff, I was kind of thinking, like, wow, okay, they're doing something with Space Mountain. You know, maybe they've retrofitted it with some stuff. I don't know. No. What they did with their idea of plussing Space Mountain, all the lights were out.
I loved it.
All the lights were out. So, but is it really like... was it worth?
I'm not defending the rest of the party. There's a lot you can say about the overlay of just turning the lights off, and I get that, but I can't defend the fact that I just had a really good time and that I enjoyed Space Mountain with the lights off.
Okay, the lights off, is that really an overlay?
No, and that's what I
that's what I did. That's what I did there.
On the Best and Worst, so you make me pay more because you stripped an attraction of its entire storyline instead of, like, at Disneyland. Pete mentioned they do Ghost Galaxy. It is a story that still takes place within the story of Space Mountain, and the same with the Hyperspace Mountain is there's still outer space adventures. And this, they were like, someone flip a switch and we'll be fine.
Why can Disneyland do these overlays so much better?
Well, they can be. First of all, their Space Mountain is somewhat different than ours. And I guess on one of their rehabs, they added in the ability to do these overlays. We do not have that. I also noticed something between the first and second party. The first party, they seem to be very generous with the candy. That was like that. I will say, the second party, it was like it was coming out of their own pockets to give the candy. It's like, here's one little thing of M&Ms. So I think they were talked to in between the first and second. Ease up on the amount of candy you're going through.
I didn't go, but you're 10 weeks from Halloween.
Right, and I don't have a problem with
but
per se.
I don't even put my Christmas tree up 10 weeks from Christmas. It seems ridiculously early.
I understand what you're saying. I think that, you know, I don't have a problem with per se. I was excited that it was starting because I love the Halloween party. If you go back and look at the reviews I've done in the past, I don't remember a time where I didn't say, in the time that I've been doing the show, I don't remember a time where I didn't say the Halloween party was worth it. this is the first year I feel that it's not, because they're overselling it. They're overselling it. Now, look, they're a business. They need to make money. And I'm sure I will catch the wrath of somebody for this comment. Raise the price of the party. Raise the price of the party. If you need to make, if and sell fewer tickets, because no, this party should not be, it should not be that crowded.
Charles goes into it a little bit more depth tomorrow, but I think he also hit one of the nails right on the head as a first timer. It's while there are Halloween elements to it, besides the trick-or-treating and people coming in costumes and the couple random nods to Halloween, it's not really like a whole lot of Halloween happening in there. And not for like major Halloween. If you're a Villains fan, yes. And if you're a fan of the fall time, the fall period season,
yeah. But what else is there to Halloween besides dressing up in costume and trick-or-treating? And I know you're 60 movies, but I mean, like, there's not a lot. It's that's basically the premise of Halloween.
I also think you have, you know, the reason to have it so early is just because the people who are traveling now, giving them the ability to go to this party. It has nothing to do with timing of Halloween. It's about the fact that now you have people who are here in August because this is when they can travel, so let's get them to pay extra.
You know, here's the thing. They're expanding the availability of the after-hours parties. I would take the money you're going to spend on Halloween and spend it on the after-hours party instead. No, you're not getting candy. No, you're not getting a special parade or special fireworks or anything like that. But
get snacks and stuff on that.
You get snacks and you know, you get snacks and waters included, and pretty much everything's open, and you get to walk right on. And
you can buy a $6 bag of candy in Publix and have a good old time.
Yeah.
I the thing I was most looking forward to were the ride upgrades. And despite me being maybe the only one in the universe that liked the Space Mountain overlay, I will put the air quotes again. I think with the crowds being what they were and the wait times for those, I think those three attractions had much longer wait times than they would have if they didn't have the overlay. They either need to expand the amount of rides that have overlays, or they need to figure out something, because the main attraction of them having these Halloween differences,
but even
just makes it,
even Buzz Lightyear had a 25-minute wait.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, at 10:30 at night.
And until you've been to Disneyland and seen them do Haunted Mansion and It's a Small World for the holiday, that's an overlay.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's suffered by comparison. Right. It really does.
It's a whole different experience.
Now, Charles, it was your first time. Give us some of your thoughts.
Thought it was awesome. Oh, I'm sorry. I just... I'm going to disagree with a lot of you. Not on any of the points you're making. I'm going to disagree on the vibe and the take-home that I had as a first-timer, right? I'm not comparing it to anything. I don't care whether there were changes made. The overlays don't bother me because I'm not comparing it to Disneyland's. It's something different, and I didn't expect it to be world-changing. And when I think about the money, I think that night was $79, right? And the way I put it in my head is like, okay, that's about two $40 table service meals for me. That's, would I sacrifice two table service meals for this party? And since it's my first Disney Halloween party, I enjoyed it. The differences were cool. Now, I agree it was crowded, and I agree it's hot, but I was going one of the first days in August. You don't want to go that early unless that's the only time you can go. But for some families, you can't go closer than you're traveling in August, and you want that little bit of Halloween. You're going to enjoy that. So, I mean, for me, yeah, it was new, and it was fun, and I noticed a lot of people were enjoying it, and I think part of that is, and maybe this is something that allows them to kind of skimp on improvements, is for some of us who are having our first times, seeing the Magic Kingdom that way and seeing that extra stuff really is enjoyable. And, you know, as far as money that I've misspent in the parks, I wouldn't put this high on that list. I do think that it wasn't up to my expectations from everybody else who's talked about it. And, you know, during the Christmas party, one of my favorite things is walk-ons to attractions while people are doing other stuff. I usually don't take in shows and parades. But, I mean, honestly, like, I'll probably go again this year. And I enjoyed it. And I like the vibe. I like the people watching. I thought it was fun. And, yeah, maybe this isn't the year to go for a lot of people, especially if you've been before. But if you're a first timer and you've never seen it before, I don't think this is going to be the biggest mistake of your life going.
No, I wasn't saying it would be the biggest mistake of your life. But I think depending on what's important to you, if, you know, if one of the big draws of going to the party is the access to attractions and the shorter wait times, you may want to really think twice about this and spend that money on an after hours party.
Yeah.
If the Halloween elements, if getting the candy and the fireworks and the parade and going in costume and all that stuff, if that's what drives your decision, then yeah, absolutely do it. But just be aware, you're going to spend more time queuing up for those things than you have in years past. And if you've done the party before, you may find the increase in crowds is going to dampen your expectations or dampen your experience.
I also understand what you're saying. And I always try and think of the person who walked through the gates for the first time.
Yeah.
And I think it's mind-blowing when it's your first visit. But I think it's short-sighted to assume that that's going to be enough.
Yeah.
Because you are not the only group in there. You're not, the first timers are not the only one that Disney should be appealing to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's, I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think part of the problem is that they bank on people like me. When I go later, like I said, I'll be back. When I go later in this year and I'm not seeing it for the first time, I'm probably going to be looking at it more critically. I'm going to be honest, I was in a great mood that entire day looking forward to the party. So I had very much I had very much that first timer like vacation mentality of, yay, I get to do something new today. It definitely had detractors to it. But one of the things that I really want to see is later in the year, as it's closer to Halloween, as the weather is a little cooler and hopefully the crowds are a little smaller, how it compares. Because that first day, honestly, it's very hard to get in the Halloween mentality with as hot as it was.
Yeah.
Like, I had to change clothes an hour in.
Yeah. Well, and like I said, I went back a second time because I wanted to make sure. Like, okay, what's it? Like, that was the first night. We were working. Because I got to be honest, I really wanted to come on here and say, okay, it was a one-off and everything's great. And I'm not saying the party was the most awful thing ever. I just think that for me, one of the big draws is access to the attractions. And a 25-minute wait for Buzz Lightyear does not make me feel like I'm getting my money's worth.
Mm-hmm. I always enjoy watching the people, but I go in shorts and a t-shirt. I didn't go this year. And I spend a lot of time, especially when it's that hot, looking at people in full costumes. And I stop thinking about Halloween, and all I think is, aren't you hot?
Yeah. Well, so overall, Steve, scale of 1 to 10. What do you give this year's
party? I've always liked the Very Merry Christmas Party better than the Not So Scary. But I'm going to say that for me, the Halloween party this year is like a 5.5 out of 10.
Okay. Charles?
6.5, solid 7. Definitely good sentiments there, but the crowds and attraction things are detractors.
Craig?
Probably like a 3.
Oof. No.
I
won't go that low.
I will. I don't care if you haven't been before. This isn't the year to go for the first time. I would say, unless you already bought your tickets, do it. Wait for guest feedback on this year to get really low that Disney does something about it next year and give it a shot.
I believe Craig's first tweet that night was, "This is the last time I cover this event." I believe that was the first thing I said. Oh, they're having fun.
That was mine. I think I made a joke saying like, "Okay, I'm already done."
Yeah,
and it was like 5 o'clock. Like that.
I think you meant like, "I'm done covering this event for the evening."
But. Yeah. Well, it was 100. Feels like 103 degrees.
Yeah, it was crazy hot. It was crazy hot, and that also, you know, and that again, why I wanted to go back and give it a second shot. And I will say, it was better Friday. It was better. It wasn't as crowded, but it was still more crowded than normal. And like I said, the lines didn't seem to get in, like, until after the fireworks, the lines didn't seem to get too good. For me, I'm going to give it a 5. I'm going to give it a 5, which breaks my heart because I love this party. I love this more than the Christmas party. I look forward to this party. You know, the fact that it hadn't changed, year after year, never took away from the fact that I thought it was a great party and a great value and a good thing to do. But I got to agree with Craig. If you can wait till next year and let's see what they do, do that. I have a feeling these are going to start selling out more and more. They did not sell out last Friday, but last year I think the first party that sold out was in late September.
Yeah, like September 24th. I could have the dates wrong, but it was late September.
It was before a party sold out, and they did it on the first night. So,
and only four parties total last year, I think, sold out. Halloween and then like three other nights.
So we'll see how this year goes. But all right, let's go ahead and wrap up with our rapid fire. We'll start with you, John.
All right, mine is Disney Springs Resort Area Hotels extend their Disney benefits through 2019. If you were staying at one of the Disney Springs area resorts in 2018, they were offering similar benefits to staying at a Disney Resort hotel. They have been extended now. With a valid theme park ticket, you have the opportunity to enjoy extra magic hours through December 31st, 2019, and FastPass Plus selections up to 60 days in advance. Hotels are B Resort and Spa, Best Western, Lake Buena Vista, DoubleTree Suites, Hilton Orlando's, both of them, Holiday Inn, and Wyndham. And this is just in response to the fact that they're having inventory issues. They have so many hotel rooms out of commission that they're trying to put people anywhere they can on Disney property. So looking to stay at those hotels, some really good benefits.
All right. Thank you, John. Kevin.
Several people have signed up since I announced the trip. If you're looking to go with us on the London Paris Disneyland Paris, you kind of have to act fast.
All right. Thank you, Kevin. Charles.
All right. I know people only watch this show for the ESPN Wide World of Sports news, so I have some for you. ESPN Wide World of Sports announces Labor Day Fan Zone event. The Labor Day Fan Zone will take place September 1st through 2nd inside the Visa Athletic Center at ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. The event's an interactive fan festival, which will feature high-energy music by a popular DJ, unnamed but very popular, food and beverage options, event merchandise, vendor booths, character greetings, and big screen televisions showing various sporting events. It takes place 7:30 a.m. to 6:30 p.m. on both days, once again September 1st and 2nd. The best part is that access to the Labor Day Fan Zone is included in the price of admission to ESPN Wide World of Sports Complex. As a reminder, the sports complex admission price for adults and kids who are 10 and over is $18.50. The admission price for children ages 3 to 9 is $13.50.
Is this what they're paying people to attend? Yeah.
I think it's cool that the first thing they listed in the benefits was high-energy music.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, this is evidently a placeholder event because they don't have any major sporting events going on right now. So,
all right. Thank you, Charles.
Over at Disney's Contemporary Resort, it looks like Sammy Duvall's water sports might be closing.
I wonder what's going on with this.
Yeah, it's kind of odd. We saw some reports online that it might be closing August 31st. And then, just to double check, I called up their number to see if I could book a parasailing reservation for mid-September. And they said that they were closed for refurbishment at that time. When I followed up and asked when the refurbishment would be over, they said they didn't know. So it seems like there might be some validity to the fact that Sammy Duvall's is just closing indefinitely. There haven't been any reports of whether Disney is going to take this over or whether they're getting a third party. Maybe it's just a contract dispute with Sammy Duvall that they're trying to...
Yeah, we don't know.
We just don't know. But it does seem like there is something up. So if you're looking to book a parasailing or tubing or any of the Sammy Duvall water sport offerings, just be aware that they're not available at this time after August 31st.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Rhino.
Okay. So Disney Early Morning Magic offering at Toy Story Land that you can book now through December 19th. I guess this is a hard ticket event that when you purchase a ticket to the special Disney Early Morning Magic experience, in addition to your regular theme park admission, you can be among the first to enter Disney's Hollywood Studios for the day and ride all the, of course, the Slinky Dog Dash, Alien Swirling Saucers, and Toy Story Mania. And you'll be able to meet Buzz, Woody, and Jessie. Breakfast is included as part of this event, and it features continental buffet with yogurt, fruit pastries, fruit pastries, and assorted cereals, as well as a choice of a main dish like avocado toast or fried chicken, served with a cronut. It's supposed to take place select Mondays and Wednesdays from 7:30 a.m. to 8:45 a.m. Like I said, now through December 19th, so that's an hour and 15 minutes. And it is $79 plus tax. That is for adults ages 10 and older, and $69 plus tax for kids 3 to 9. I cannot believe that someone is going to pay almost the entire price of that park ticket again for an extra 1 hour and breakfast.
Yeah, I'm not going to say what I was going to say because people get mad at me. I'm not going to say it.
What? Well, you have to say it.
Just whisper it.
Just do a little
ASMR. Never mind. Thank you, Rhino. Craig.
Okay, so I'm going to pull Steven on this one just real quick. I know we're running out of time, but
what?
I just
want to... disgusting. What is that?
Oh, absolutely not. No. I want to give a big plug. I've got two vlogs that are... One's featuring myself and Kylie. The other's just me. Disney Springs has just gone above and beyond in their last two dining establishments that have opened up. Chicken Guy, the
your
Guy Fieri, Earl... whatever his name is, Earl Roberts, Robert Earl, that's it, of namesake Earl of Sandwich, that one. They opened up Chicken Guy, and I ate there the day after it opened. I know Steve was there that same day too, actually.
Yep.
And it is easily one of the most affordable places mm-hmm. on Disney Springs property, and also one of the tastiest
yeah.
and one of the best.
So Guy Fieri made something good?
Absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. A very basic menu, fried chicken tenders, grilled chicken tenders, and then chicken sandwiches that are either they're pre-made ones or chicken sandwiches that you can get with whatever types of sauce you want on top. Salads, milkshakes, other things like that, all simple. Pretty much, unless you go insane, you can get a meal for under $13, including your drink, French fries, and then your choice of
wow.
sandwich or tenders. And
it's like 11 different sauces or something, right?
22.
Oh,
yeah.
Geez. That was
and it's
22.
Not all came alive there. Awesome. Not all of them are awesome, but
I don't
they
always
are
know
delicious.
A lot of stuff. But when I know something, I'm happy to share it.
I will say I was really surprised with Chicken Guy, and I love the fact that with all the different sauce options, it's great for locals because you can try one sauce one time and then try to all the different types of sauces. So I loved it. I think it's great.
And then we also had the Four Rivers Cantina Barbacoa food truck open up right next to the World of Disney inside the Marketplace area. And I had nachos from there, as well as what Steve also had, the big taco cone with their brisket. And while the nachos got soggy fast and were good portion size for $10.99, were literally outstanding. But the taco cone was out of this world awesome.
Is that what I'm looking at here? Is yes. the taco cone? Okay.
It was so, and the portion size of this thing is huge too. It's filled all the way to the top with toppings and ingredients and the whatever your meat selection is. So
there was a pound of meat inside there by far. It was massive. It was heavy. It was made fresh, delicious. If you like Tex-Mex style food, I mean, that's what they're kind of going for. It's Four Rivers, so it's the name that we know from barbecue here in Central Florida, but just different flavors.
I will say I was with my wife, Michaela, and she got the burrito bowl, and that was the same price as the taco cone, and her burrito bowl was only slightly larger than what comes in a side dish type of container. So for the same price, the taco cone is a way, way better deal.
Yeah, absolutely. All the entrees there are $10.99. You can get tacos, taco cone, the bowl, or nachos. And they have a vegetarian quesadilla. Go for the taco cone or the nachos.
I know we're going long. Is there seating there? Can you sit down?
Or
is there
really
standing tables? But however, in that area, there's a whole bunch of seats around because of Ghirardelli. And no one's going to come and kick you out because you're sitting somewhere else. So everyone's friends. It's Disney Springs.
All one big happy family.
Yeah.
All right. Heck? Thank you very much for that, Craig. That, ladies and gentlemen, will do it for our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you again next Tuesday with another episode of the Diz Unplugged. Have a great week, everyone. And remember, stay out of the damn lakes.